Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning again, for your grace that we can be here together. We ask for your leading, Father, Lord, open our hearts to learn a little of thy word each passing day. And every week as we come together, be taught and to see what you have done for the children of Israel, what you have done for the saints of old. That, Lord, we might follow the righteous footsteps of those that look to you in faith, Lord, and learn from the mistakes of those that have gone away before us, Father. And help us in our way too, Lord Jesus, at this time. We thank you, Father. Bless now, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we go to the book of Isaiah chapter 9. Just look at Isaiah chapter 9, a few of these verses before we go to the main chapter of Judges. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 4. Here is Isaiah prophecy to you, to Israel. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, and the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. As in the day of Midian. I just quote some of these verses because they refer to what we are going to talk about in the first few verses of chapter 6 of Judges anyway. So Leviticus 26:21. Chapter 26:21. If you walk contrary unto me, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 more plagues upon you according to your sins. And Deuteronomy 32, verse 21. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Now, the verses that we read reminds us of the, just God is recording in these various places of the scripture. In fact, there are many places in the Bible that we see that God, through the prophet, rebuked Israel for sinning time and time again and going back to idolatry. And we read here in chapter 6 where we left last week, in chapter 5, we continue with chapter 6 of Judges. Here is that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Now, Isaiah prophesied about the day of Midian. It must mean that in the days of the Midians or Midianites upon the children of Israel must be very heavily oppressed upon the children of Israel. They must have, trodden down Israel so badly that it is mentioned in the Bible a few times. And here we see that the Bible said that if the people of God sin so often, and if they refuse to hearken to the word of God, God even will punish Israel 7 more times the worst. And he will use even other nations to oppress them, to wake them up. But why did Israel get this such a treatment? It is because they fall back into their old sin. They left the Lord of God, they left what God had taught them, and went back over to idolatry. So now we read here, verse 2, and the hand of Midian, the hand of Midian, that's when the power of Midian, the oppressions of the Midianites, prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel make them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. Now, in the days when the children of Israel sinned against the Lord and God used this nation to oppress them, it was so bad that the Bible mentioned that the children of Israel have to hide in caves in the mountain. They have to hide in holes, in some crevices on the mountains. And they will build some sort of fort wherever they could. They no longer could freely roam the land that God gave them. It just shows how bad it is. It seems that they have been so badly treated that they had to hide themselves somewhere. And it says in verse 3, and so it was that when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came out against them. And they came against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till they come up unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. And they came up with their kettles and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without numbers, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried to the Lord. Now here, this Midianite, just so that you can understand, let us look into this chart here, or the map. Here's the northern part of Israel. Okay? This is the whole land of Israel. Okay? But we are looking at the northern part, northern section. Now, when children of Israel crossed over Jordan and captured the land, so to speak, they conquered the land, and they divided up the land. And not very long after that, after Joshua died, here came this army from the north, from Mesopotamia, to fight against Othniel. Remember. And then, not very long after that, again we see that there was this other group down on the east from Moab, right here. They crossed here to fight. Remember that? And they fought against Ahud. And then the Bible tells us there was a little battle here between the Philistine against Shamgar, whom God raised up as a judge. And last week we studied that from the north, up in the north, here we have from Hazor came down this King Barak. Jabin. And God raised up Deborah and Barak to fight against them. So, we see this war so often, and now we are looking at another oppressions of the children of Israel, which God caused, and here will be a war, where the enemies, the Midianites, and if you look at this map again, the Midianites are people that live in this area. And all the way right down to the south. So the Midianite, well, if you ask, if you know who the Midianites are, they are from the descendants of from Abraham's family too, line. Alright? And many of these people are nomadic. They live the Bedouin, they live in the tents, and they have a lot of camels. And of course, when we say the Midianites, you must understand that they are subgroups. Just like the 12 tribes of Israel. If you belong to Manasseh, Manasseh has so many children. And each children will have their little groups, or what we call clans. But they are all related to Manasseh, for example. Alright, so the same thing right there in Midian. And you know that Moses went down to Midian. Is that right? But it was in the southern part, where he married a daughter of Jethro. Okay? But there are other Midianites that are on the east of the Dead Sea, and all the way back to the east, as far as it is. And the Ishmaelites and Amalekites and all these people are all just from the east. And here we have in the Bible, it says that here, in verse 3, the Midianite came, and the Amalekite, and the children of the east. So there are all those nomadic people. And they're all from the east. So they came over here to fight against Israel, to terrorize, or we will say terrorize Israel. Now, the Bible here said in verse 4, 5, and 6 that when they came not to actually to fight. Because after all, they're such a big group, they came like grasshoppers. You know what a grasshopper does, don't you? A grasshopper will devour the land, literally. So here came these marauders, plunderers, we will say. They just came and just come down in the camels and lots of them, and Israel see them coming, they couldn't do a thing. What did they do when they come down to Israel? Cross the river Jordan And then all the way, even as they come down, they go over to this side, they go even all the way to the Gaza region. And even they have wars with the Philistine there. They just go there and they just take whatever is there in the land. Every harvest time they will come down, they will take the grain. They will let the camel, their cattle eat up everything they want and just destroy them, impoverize them, so that they'll give nothing to the children of Israel. And so much so the children of Israel had to, you know, whenever they have a chance, they will collect whatever they could and hide them in the mountain hole, in the cave, in the dens. That's how bad it is that in the days of the Midian attack. Because literally it comes like grasshoppers. Alright? So, the children of Israel hide in dens for fear. And verse 6, and Israel were greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus said the Lord God of Israel, I brought you out of Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I deliver you out of the hands of the Egyptian, out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drove them out from before you, and give you their lands. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. What did they do? What did the children of Israel actually do? What did they? They have no fear for God. And that's why, the reason why people don't seem to understand when they read the Bible. Like just recently, I sent an email out to you about this Christian friend of mine, you know. Just wanted to argue with me and just bring out all a lot of accusation. And they always want to interpret the Bible. If it make literal sense, seek no other sense. I don't know whether you realize that. How to interpret the Bible? Go onto the internet and look for it. How to interpret the Bible. And you will be given a lot of links and different web pages that will teach you how to interpret the Bible. And everyone have their own opinion. But the main common opinion is how to interpret the Bible is that if it is understood in literal sense, seek no other sense. You understand what I'm saying? If it makes literal sense, seek no other sense. And so this friend of mine come along and argue with me. The Bible said two trees in the Garden of Eden. Tree of life and tree of knowledge. And the Bible said trees. Why you people don't believe in trees, ask me. Why must you dig into it and say it is not tree, it says something else. And he said, did not the Bible say that God took from Adam's side a rib? Why you are not believing that it's a literal rib? You know what I'm saying? And yet he talked about literal sense. Did God really take a literal rib out of Adam? That's why I was asked this question in overseas. But again, is it true that man has one rib less than the woman? And I asked them to count it. And you know our ribs are all in pairs. Is that right? And don't tell me that, I mean, even if I were to ask him my guess, he wouldn't be able to give me an answer. But to him, it makes sense that it was a literal rib. If it was a literal rib, one of the ribs would be missing, and woman have one rib extra. If it is not, then there must be that man or woman would have one rib not there. Or maybe there was one rib that stick out like a tail and broke off. How would you explain it? Isn't it? And if it was literal tree, as we know, then why did God to remove it? Did the Bible say that God removed the literal tree from the Garden of Eden? You know. And he believed that everything was literal. And I told him, I said, if you believe you're literal, then why are you not obeying the word of God when the Bible says repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And what are you baptizing in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? And why are you not following what Jesus said? When Jesus said, wash one another's feet as I wash your feet. Is that right? But you will say, oh no, it means, wash one another, it means spiritually, means to, be a servant to one another. But the Bible says literal, wash one another's feet. Because everything that literal has even have a spiritual meaning behind it. You wash a brother's feet, that means to say that you are also in literally doing it, you have to act it out in real life. How to help the brother, to serve the brother. And the problem is the same thing. The children of Israel for so many years have seen everything God perform, and yet they could not believe. Isn't it? So if the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud was all literal for 40 years, the children of Israel were out there. If they could see for 40 years literally, day and night, day and night, day and night, how could they ever come against God? How could they fall back to idolatry? If it was there in the first place, how could Korah, Abiram, Miriam withstood Moses, especially Korah and Nephin? Is that right? Remember that? How could they withstood Moses if the pillar of fire was right there? They could see with the eye. You see, people don't look at the Bible and understand what God is saying. The Bible is a lot of drama. It's poetry. It's poetical. Something that God is trying to make for you to see and understand spiritually what He's trying to convey. And if you don't understand it, you won't understand it. As it was in the days of the Pharisees, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no eternal life. Destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. Literally. The temple will be raised up if somebody put it down. Jesus can build it in 3 days. But that is not what it means. That's not what Jesus meant. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no eternal. Jesus is not asking you to eat Him. Jesus is not teaching about cannibalism or vampirism. So every time we look at the scripture, I do not believe that the denomination of Bible school theology can come up with a definition of how to interpret the Bible. What rules and regulation in interpreting the Bible? The Bible is not to be interpreted by man, it's to be interpreted by the Spirit of the living God. And only that which God has ordained will bring out forth the truth. Otherwise, it is not so. You see, that's why I asked the brother, I says, when is a sentence literal? And when it is not? When is a sentence that makes sense? I said, to you, the tree makes sense as trees to you. Makes sense as rib to you, but to me it is not. There is more beyond this what God said. God hides the truth from the wise and the prudent. And you know, in his email, he said to me, he says, you know, you are always, Richard, you are always looking into the Bible and talk about meat, meat, meat. And so he come up with all these errors. You know? And I said to him, I quote what Paul said to him, what Paul said to the Corinthians. He said, you know, I cannot teach you, you know, deep things. Because why? You should be weaned from milk, but you're still drinking milk. So how can I teach you spiritual things? And that is true, you know that? And he wanted me, and he told me, oh, Richard, you should be telling your people all the simple things. Every day, every Sunday, you go to church for 40 minutes to hear simple things. God loves you, you know, brothers and sisters. God loves you. Jesus is love. And they will talk all this. And there's no deep thing to build up. That's really why we need meat. Because very soon to come, not very far from now, you look at the time that we are living in. It's so messy. There's famine and droughts around the world. Businessmen are profiteering. They are hoarding all this rice and say there is a shortage of rice. That's a lot of baloney. And it created a panic. And they're hoarding it and they're selling it at a high rent. You know. And of course, in some places they are drought, they produce less grain, that is true. But there are also other issues here, state. American dollar is falling. And they're running for presidency over there in America. And there's a lot of money that they need. And gasoline has gone up. What do you think is happening around the world? And then, before the year end, there will be a lot of things that we will see that's come to pass, to born out. And we need to be strong. You understand that? We need to be strong. The only way to be strong is to look into the Word of God and walk in the light of God's Word, in the revelation that God gives us. So here was a prophet. We were not told who the prophet was that came around and prophesied against Israel, remind them what they have done. They keep falling back to idols. They go back to worship the God of the Canaanites. And you know the name of the gods of the Canaanite? Baal, 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 Baal this, Baal that. The word Baal means confusion, chaos. You know, and it's literally what it is. But they have Baal Beer, the god of Baal of the Covenants, and some other Baal, you know, Ashraf, which is a female god of some sort. Baalim. Yeah, they have a lot of kind of gods. Just today we have in India. They say they have one god, but actually have so many. They say about some 5 million, which is unbelievable. How do you look at 5 million gods? Huh? And in Asia, in Chinese country, this part of the world, we have Shinism, superstition, huh? All kinds of gods, all kinds of spirits that people worship. The vanities of the mind. And the children of Israel, they have no excuse. They should not have any excuse after seeing all that which God had did for them. That God had done for them. They just went back to a hauling. No, we have no excuse, having that we have received the truth, if we should fall back, God will show no pressure in us. Do you know that, don't you? You know. Verse 11, there came an angel of the Lord, an angel of the Lord. Remember the word in the Bible, when you see the word capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, it's always Yahweh. Alright? It's not just the capital L itself. But the whole four letters are all capital, it means Yahweh. When you have only one capital L, it's Adon, Adonai. Which means God has a blessing of the Lord of anybody who is to be called Lord as one who is a blesser or benefiter. Okay? Blesser, sovereign. And there came an angel of the Lord, and you know who the angel of the Lord is, don't you? Huh? It's a theophany of God that appeared, and he has only one face. And that face is the face of Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? Though he is not called the Son of God, because the Son of God was only born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. That was the theophany. God manifests in a way that he could prefigure what Jesus was to be later on when he comes. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son, Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So now, Gideon was in some place, you know, which is kind of odd, because when you do threshing of wheat, you need a proper threshing floor. But he was kind of away from the threshing floor into a place where he was threshing his wheat in a winepress. A winepress is just two stones, you know, where you crash the grapes on top and let it flow down to the second one. So it's kind of small slab of stone here and there, and he was trying to, you know, I guess he's trying to keep himself, you know, in a secret place from if the enemy should come. You know, so he was away from the threshing floor. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord Yahweh is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Oh, that's a very nice thing. Here you see in the Kaidi language, this is of course Hebrew, but in the Kaidian it means the word of the Lord is your help. You know, the Lord is with thee. The Lord, the word of the Lord is your help. And now here came this angel of the Lord in Theophany. You know me in the Theophany that, you know who that is, the word of God manifest. Is that right? You see, because that is when God reveals himself in a visible form, and that comes as the word of revelation to reveal himself. So the Lord, the word of the Lord is your help. So suddenly he came now to help Gideon and his nation. And thou mighty man of valor, that's very nice. It means to say something that Gideon, I mean, he was a young man. He wasn't a warrior in any sense of the word. He was just a young man. But he had this what we call faith in him, not like others around him. Even his father was an idol worshipper. His father has turned to idol worshipping, you know. But he was looking, he was a man that was against all these things, perhaps he had spoken out and not liked by many of the people. You see. And so the angel came to him and said, oh, thou man of valor, man of faith. And Gideon said unto him, Oh my Lord. Now here, see that? It just capital L. Oh my Lord, it means Adonai, means Oh, the sovereign one of the earth. You know, when Gideon looked at this angel, he doesn't know who he was. He thought he was just a man. You know. But like, in all due respect, when you hear an angel, a stranger talk in a certain way, you have to pay a certain respect and address him in a manner that is right. When the three angels came, the three men that came to Abraham, Abraham says, My Lord, you know, please be seated. You know, he know that these are messengers. These are not some ordinary person. The way they dress, perhaps the way they talk, the way they conduct themselves. You see. And so the same thing, Gideon addressed him and say, Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all this miracle which our father told us of saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us in the hands of the Midianites. So you know, after so many years he was born here, he heard all these reports from their father, grandfather, and all passed around and said, What the Lord did and all. He said, Well, God is going to ask why this thing happened. You know, some of us may have gone through life like this. Even as a Christian, you know, we got into a little problem. I know Brother Kati gone through a little problem with his business a little bit here. Maybe he probably wondered too, huh? We all do wonder too when we have a little problem, when we are down and out, we have a little, got a fractured leg maybe, got a certain disease that came upon us. It's, why Lord? You know. And so it is here. And he say, the angel said, The Lord looked upon him and said, Go in thy might and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianite. Have I not sent you? And he said unto him, Oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. You know, preparing my sermon, looking through all this, and when I look at this, I say, hey, it's come a little bit like me. You know, when the Lord told me in the early years, you know, and I told the Lord, you know, I'm a poor family. How am I going to do my ministry? You know, you will question when the Lord will ask you something. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I'll be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianite as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that you talked with me, that you are talking real, that you are telling me the truth, what you said. Alright? Depart not hence. Now, don't go away yet. Gideon told the angel, Don't go away yet, I pray you, until I come unto you and bring forth my presence and set it, my guilt and my offering, and set it before thee. And he said, I would tarry until thou come again. So here was it. Gideon talk with the angel and say, Okay, don't go away yet. I want to know whether you're telling me the truth. I want you to show me a sign. Stay here, don't go away. I'll come back with something, a present for you. The angel said, Okay, I'll stay. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid, a young lamb, and unleavened bread of an ephah of flour. That's good. That's a lot of flour, a lot of dough, a lot of a bread. You know, this which is good for maybe up to 10 people, not just a small percentage of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it now. How long do you think it takes to slaughter a lamb, cook it, boil it? You mean that just broth means he boiled it, and prepare bread. How long do you think it takes to kill a goat and then skin him, you know, and boil the whole kit in a big pot? How long do you think the whole kit, not just a small portion? He didn't say, I'll come and give you some food. The whole thing, the whole lamb, you know, and the whole lot of bread. No, that's a lot. It's a big pot and lots of bread. How long do you think it takes? Maybe 2 hours? Okay, let's say 2 hours. And the angel sat there for 2 hours. The Lord is patient, you see. You might wonder, you know, 2 hours, you know, you're waiting for somebody for 2 hours. I think even for 1 hour, you already be walking up and down and grumbling already. You know, but 2 hours. And he brought it to the Lord, and the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened bread and the unleavened cake, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. And I believe that that rock was perhaps the wine press rock, you know, where they were sitting, you know, where the angel came to get on. And said, put it on this rock, you know, the whole of this, the flesh of this kid, put it on that. Then take the bread, unleavened bread, okay, and put it also on the rock. And he did so. And then he took the broth, the pot of soup, because that's what the animal was cooking. And then poured over it. And Gideon did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and he touched the flesh and the unleavened cake, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Now, he didn't touch the rock, he touched the flesh with his rod. You know. And as you say that, I accept this offering. And it was a sign to Gideon that truly that this was an angel of the Lord. It was the Lord that was speaking to him. And I believe that when he caught fire, you know, boom. And Gideon probably have, you see the fire was big. It is small fire, it's just a big fire. You just think about it, how can fire consume a meat that is pourable with broth, which is water, you know, and consume it just like that. Boom. And as Gideon turned aside, he's away, and then suddenly the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. He was seen no more. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. You know, sometimes, you know, it's just a bit scary. A lot of them, in the Bible, you can see when you see an angel face to face, they feel awe. You know, they feel that, wow. And I believe that you would too. How many of you would like to see you know, the Lord Jesus Christ face to face? Maybe in a vision for that. Maybe you all love to, huh? The Lord will come in a dream or in a vision and come to you that you can see His face. Not just, you know, a glow around Him which I've seen. You know, I couldn't see His face. You know, but the glow. At least I was able to hug Him in the dream. You know, was so realistic. You can't see the face. So glow. How would you like to see His face? The way He was. I mean, the way He is, you know. The face that the disciples saw when he went. It wanted to be something. And so he said, oh, don't talk about the face of Jesus. Don't just see an angel will do. How would you like to have an angel visit you and tell you something? Isn't it something? You know. It will be an awesome thing. I mean, a dream is one thing. But to have an angel come into the room and stood in front of you and talk to you. It's not just seeing angels moving. Like my mom did. But just to see an angel standing right there and talk to you. Won't it be something? You will be somebody really special. Really. You know. Alright. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto you. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then get on to build an altar there unto the Lord and call it Jehovah Shalom. Yahweh Shalom. God of peace. Unto this day it is yet an Ophrah of Abiram. Now, if we go back, we look at the various this place called Ophrah. Now, in this map here, you will see in the north, right here is where the thing Ophrah is, but it is not at this area. Okay, now let's just go up. Sorry. Okay, let me just erase this. Now, you notice. I wonder if I wish I could highlight it a bit bigger. Let me go to another one here. This one, I wish I could highlight it. Now, this is the Sea of Galilee. Okay, now, here on the map here, it says Ophrah is here in Issachar. That is not true. This is probably one of the, another Ophrah. Okay, but Ophrah should be situated between Shechem and all the way up here to the Mount Carmel, this region, or the Valley of Jezreel and Megiddo. This is probably somewhere along here, East Ophrah. Because why this whole event here dealt with Gideon being a descendant of Manasseh. Had nothing to do with Issachar here. So this is actually wrong because when this map of course was done many years ago, but archaeologists have found evidence that it has to be between Shechem and all the way up to the Valley of Jezreel. So somewhere along here is where the
the town is, or the little village is called Ophrah right there. All right. Now, here he built an altar unto the Lord. You know that children of Israel are not supposed to sacrifice in any place of their own choice. There's only one place all the whole nation should sacrifice, and that is where their central worship, their temple. You remember that, don't you? When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, God told Moses to build a tabernacle. And the tabernacle was pitched out there in the desert. So whenever the cloud moved and Moses was told the children to move, and they moved. And the tabernacle will go forth, and they move. And then they pitch it there, and they will stay there again. So, when they crossed the river Jordan, this river Jordan, under Joshua, where did they pitch the tent? Where was the tabernacle of Israel, of Moses, erected, once they crossed the river Jordan? It was here in Gilgal. You remember Gilgal? This is where it is. This is where they pitched the tent. Then about 14 years later, after they have conquered the land and divided the land, then he went from here, from Gilgal, he went all the way to Shiloh. And that's where they worship, the temple is there. Or rather, not temple, it's still a tabernacle, and later on they try to build it up. And that's where the central worship is. That means that every time the children of Israel must sacrifice there, the sacrifice right there has God order. But there is, that God allowed that every tribe, God will designate a place for every tribe to sacrifice. But they, no individual, can build an altar and sacrifice to God. God wouldn't allow that. So here where we see Gideon sacrifice of being an altar. It was not actually being an altar of sacrifice. You understand that? Do you understand that? It wasn't. He was there when the angel came, and the angel sat there when Gideon brought this offering to him, and it was when the angel consumed that offering of Gideon as a sign for him that God had chosen him. And at the same time, when it was done, Gideon built that up as a monument, as an altar and a remembrance. And so it was there to this day, as in the days when this Bible or this portion was written. Alright, let's go over right now to verse 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by. You see that? The angel of the Lord of God spoke to him by night. He says, now, take your father's young bullock. Now, your Bible here, you have a lot of translation. And in the King James, it says, take your father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old. It seems that there are two bullocks. Now, that is not what the Bible actually is saying. There's been a lot of confusion, and people, interpret it as if two bullocks. But there's actually only one bullock. Okay? What the word here, even? If you ever look at the word E-V-E-N in your Bible, remember this in the King James, go and look and search in the Concordant, and you find that even in Genesis, there are a lot of even. The word even means that is. It means to say that is. I am a servant of the Lord. I am a servant of the Lord. You understand that? So even means to say, it's a point to the thing. So take your father's bullock, that is the second young bullock. Take the one that's 7 years old. Your father may have two, that is to say. That is obvious, there are two. But take the one, the second one, the one that is 7 years old. You know why 7 years old? Because under oppression for 7 years. That's why God put them under oppression for 7 years. So now God wants them to take 7 years. Don't take the old bullock. Take the one that is 7 years old. And throw down the altar of Baal that your father had, and cut down the grove that is by. His father must be somebody in that particular area that is looked upon as somebody as a leader. But his father is worshipping, like many of them, they are worshipping all kinds of gods. So they build this big altar to Baal. And beside the altar, this grove is not, it's an English word, but don't think about it as a orange grove, or the apple grove where it's all a pile of trees around it. No, it's actually the idols. In fact, it was translated in some writings as it should be translated as, in fact, in the Hebrew is Asherah. Asherah is Ashraf. Asherah is a goddess of some sort. You read the Bible, it says Ashroth, and Asherah, And that is what it is. So beside this God altar, there is this idol. And said, go and break it down. And then Gideon, and then he says, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. Now, don't read the Bible confusedly, huh? God told Gideon, take a young bullock that belongs to your father and destroy the altar of Baal. Then upon this rock, not the altar of Baal that he broke down, but upon this rock, the one that he built, the one where the fire was consumed his offering. And upon this rock, build an altar unto the Lord upon the top of this rock in the proper way, in the order place, means properly. And take the second bullock, that is, take this bullock and offer the burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove that thou hast cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was because he feared his father's household and the men of the city that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Now he did it by night not because he feared his father in the daytime if he do it. No. It is because that he feared that if he do it in the daytime, he could not accomplish it. You know why I'm saying that? You get what I mean? He could not do it in the daytime. The very fact is that if he do it in the daytime, all the village will prevent him from doing it. So he could not do it. Not because he feared them, because he feared that it cannot be accomplished in the daytime. So he did it by night. He took 10 men of his servants. These are all probably those who agree with him that, you know, all these idols are nothing. You know? And then Bahabi are with him as one in mind and faith, to look upon all this idol worship as sinful in the eyes of God. So he took them in the night when everybody was sleeping. They broke down the altar. 10 men with him, or 10 men broke down the altar of Baal. Alright, and they sacrificed that bullock on the altar that he built. And when the man of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said unto one another, who have done this? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joshua, have done this. How did they know? Obviously. There's only one person after all. Whenever they worship Baal, you know, the public, you know, say that, so this is all rubbish and things like that. They criticize them, you know. And everybody knows that Gideon is the one man who stood against all this rubbish, worshipping of idols and things like that, and just so much against them that they all know it must be Gideon. So they went and inquire here and there, soon end up, and Gideon says, yeah, I did it. And you know what he says here? And the men of city said unto Joash, now, to the father, bring out your son, that he may die, because he have cut down the altar of Baal, and because he have cut down the grove that was by. Why did these people defend this false God? They are so deceived, they, you know, their father passed down all the information to them about what God had done. And now they believe in this Baal. Why? Because as I said, when they did not destroy all the Canaanites, God told them, kill the Canaanite, kill the Amalekite, the Hittites and the Havites and all that, they refused. They didn't do a good job of it. They let them leave. How can two walk together? How can you live in a place like that? They said, no, how can? I told this friend of mine, how could you go back to where you came out of? How could you identify with a church that is a member of the World Council of Churches? That is, that this organization building an image unto the beast. They were bowed down to Catholicism, and that's what now ecumenicalism is. They are now a part of apostles of Mystery Babylon at large. No wonder God said, you come out of her, my people. And I warned him, I said, the Bible said, you say you believe it literally, believe it to be literal. The Bible said so. You better come out or I'll be a particle of a plague. Is that alright? God warned it. God said, oh, I'm born again, I'm okay. You're born again, you're okay? You know, Jesus Christ was the Son of God, was the Son of God. And the angel took him up to Pentecost and said, you jump down like you're a Son of God. You know, the Bible said the angel will lift you up. Jesus said, yeah, I'm a Son of God, so I'm okay. So I jump. Do you think Christ would do that? Christ didn't do it. We all have a responsibility to the word of the Lord. We don't act like idiots. Like foolish people, like fools, so to speak. They say, oh, I'm a child of God, I can do anything of God. I want God is with me. Oh, God is with you. God is with you in what way? As long as you walk in His light according to His word, according to a path of truth, He will be with you and He will keep you and guide you. And all right, don't go and take off in a plane, you know, free fall, huh? If you want to go and take a free fall, make sure you have a parachute. Don't say, oh, God is with me. You take a fly. Then some spirit is telling you that you're okay. Then when you score down and you see the ground coming up at you, see whether you'll be okay. You'll be killed. No, okay. And that's the problem is that when men look at things in the Word of God, they don't see in the light of God's Word. They all get in a mess. And here we have this Joash. My goodness. The people, they have given their tithes and offering to a false god. They worship Baal. They offer their sacrifice to Baal. They built the big altars. Not only just here, but particularly everywhere throughout the land of Israel. Not just in Manasseh. Wow. You live among these Canaanites. The Canaanite women maybe are beautiful, huh? You know the Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 6? Isn't it? The children of God, look upon the children of men, the daughters of men, the father and fair, beautiful, sexy, wow. You know? I don't know what they look like. Maybe they look like some of the Hollywood actresses or the model on the catwalk, you know? The way they walk. Very sexy, very attractive. Isn't it? And sometimes they're even bringing this catwalk, this fashion parade in a mall. Huh? Sometimes when I went to the mall last, in downtown area especially, I was surprised that even they have model doing catwalk. And there was this doing the pole dance and all that. You know, they have seen that they're pole dancing. Woo! They're bringing it all back into the mall. And you can see a lot of people just stand and watch and men, watch. And then I expect an old lady, tell them, husband, come on, get lost. This is not good. You know how it is like, after all, this is Asia. There's still a lot of Asian value where when you see an elderly man and a woman passing by seeing all these things, you can be sure the wife is pulling the husband. Come on. But if you go to Europe, America, this is a different thing. They will all stand on there and look and enjoy themselves. You see what I'm saying? That's perhaps what Canaanites are. The woman may be beautiful. They marry, intermarry with them, worship their gods. You know? And so in the end, that's where the problem is. Sin came into the whole camp of Israel. And Josiah said unto all that stood against him, will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? Would you? Do you have to do that? If Baal be God, you don't have to plead for him. Let Baal judge Gideon. Yeah, let Baal judge him. You don't have to plead for Baal. Yet, let him put to death while it is yet morning. If it be God, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. So God, let this Baal God judge Gideon, because someone had done it to his altar. Therefore, on that day, they called Gideon Yerubal. You see, they used the word Baal. They gave Gideon that name. Yerubal. Somebody to plead. Yerubal, let him plead. Let Baal plead. So they call Gideon Yerubal. And let Baal plead against him because he had torn down his altar. You know why the children of Israel worship idols? And you know why today, why people worship idols? Even in Catholicism, why did they have the images? It's because the thing is that they cannot believe a God. They find it hard to worship a God that they cannot see. So they want to have a God that they can see. So people create God that they can see. And that's why in India, every God that they worship can be seen. Go to India, you can see all the Indian gods. Krishna, Kali, some of the things when I was in there in India, I went to some of this, little shrine, passed by and look at it. The Kali, Kali. The goddess of destruction. With so many hands and feet all over the place. You ever seen that? It's scary. You know, then the elephant god. I don't know his name. Ganesh. Then you have the peacock. I don't know what his name is. Oh my, all kinds, you know. And it's all about a picture, about an image that they can see. So, you know, the Catholics, the same thing. They want to see, so they create a little painting of Jesus, or a baby Jesus, of Mary, Mother, and then, you know, in many places, Nicaragua, the Central America, the Philippines, Spain, any Catholic country, you will always see idols of Mary holding the baby Jesus. And then in Nicaragua and over in the Philippines, you have Ninoy, baby Jesus, a little doll. You can even buy in the shop. You go to the Philippines, you go to a lot of shops, you can buy them, you know that? On the shelf. Which one ever you want is God to you. Take, buy it, and go home, oh, worship it. And that's God to you. You know? And that's something. Israel look at images, idols, they can see with their eyes. And I say this often, believing is seeing. Seeing is not believing. You think you see an idol and that's God? God is not seen with the naked eye. If you know where God is, the Bible says, they don't worship God, worship in spirit and in truth. That's what Jesus told the woman at the well. You know, he said, you Jew, you worship in Jerusalem. But we here, we have Samaritan worship in this mountain. And Jesus said, believe me, woman, the time has come. You know, they don't worship God, worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's not here, it's not there. Worship God in spirit and in truth. Spirit that God is. And you don't have to go to a certain place. That God is here, God is there. God is everywhere present. And He will hear your prayer. Is that right? Because it is based on the truth of His word. Not based on any other thing. But Israel. That's why, as I said, Israel had worship. What did he have worship before? You know, Moses, the serpent came into the tent, into the camp. And those who sinned against God, they were beaten. And they were dying. And God told Moses, you take a pole, make a brazen serpent, and lift it up! And whoever looked upon it will be healed. And what happened after years later? They found this pole. And they bring this pole and start to worship this pole. You know right? And if the pillar of fire, the pillar of God is true, it's really clear every day they could see 24 hours, they will worship it. They will worship it. Like today, the Branhamites are all taken up with the clouds. Though they are not worshiping in the clouds, they always talk so much about the clouds, the pillar of fire. We know it's here. You know, God has never forsaken His children. What does a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud speak about? It speaks about the presence of God. Am I right? The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. It speaks of the presence of God. It speaks of the glory of God. And what is the glory of God? And I told you this already. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. And we beheld His glory. The glory of the only begotten Son of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? We come short. We all have sinned against God. We come short of the standard of the Word of God. And the Word was made manifest, and we beheld His glory, we beheld the glory of God. Because there was the Word of God in Christ revealed to us. So when the Word of God is revealed to us, it's the glory of God to us. It's not difficult to understand. How people don't, no, everybody can understand the Word of God, that is true. But the problem is that if we cannot understand, we can learn. But there are those that cannot be taught. And here, we have the presence of God. What Jesus said, you know where two or three are getting my name? I'm there in the midst of you, right? So, you get a man and a woman sit together and say, let us pray for the Lord Jesus to be present with us. Okay, they pray. And then next moment they talk about char kway teow. They talk about wonton mee. Huh? They talk about 1-inch stick. What else do they talk about? Oh, they talk about, I've been to here, I've been to there, I went to Disneyland, I've been to South Pole, North Pole, East Pole, West Pole, whatever you want to talk about. Jesus Christ is not there. You may pray about it, but He's not there. He will be there only when the Word of God is present. You gather together in Christ for what purpose? To fellowship around His Word. Is that alright? Sure. You see? You know, there was this disciple on the way to Emmaus. Remember that? What were they talking about? They were talking about the event, how Christ, you know, about how Christ died and all these things. They were talking about Christ. They were talking about the Word. All that they know, they were talking. And here came the Word of God walking beside them. Is that right? And they were talking. And they couldn't even recognize Him until He broke the bread. When you are in fellowship together in the Word of God, Christ will come. Whether you pray or not, He will come. And when the Word of God is preached, where is the glory of God? He's right here in the midst of us. The glory of God. The presence of God is here. But you don't see a pillar of fire. You don't see a pillar of cloud. If God wills it, you will see it. But otherwise, you won't see it. Because you know why? Seeing doesn't make you to believe or cause you to be stronger. But believing and have faith in the Word of God, what God showed you, the revelation revealed to you, then you'll be strong. Seeing is not always truly strong. Do you understand that? You must first believe. If God showed the truth, you know it to be true, you hold it. Later on, somewhere down the road, God will show it to you. And even reveal it to you in a special way. Perhaps in a dream, perhaps in a vision, perhaps in some other way, I don't know. But He will strengthen you. But if you deny the truth that you already have, and you want to fall back, then you are not going to get it. Let's continue on that. 33 then. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of God came upon Gideon, or in in the Hebrew word, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. And Abiezer was gathered unto him, his clansmen. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messenger unto Asher, unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. So here we have Manasseh, right here. Okay, this is where he was from the tribe. You know what's from the tribe of Manasseh. Alright, so he says here he called, the blew his trumpet and called for Asher, which is of course in the coast in the north here. That's Asher's people here. And also Zebulun, which is next to it, and unto Naphtali, which is in the north. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hands, as thou hast said, just reminding God, sometimes we remind God to don't wait. Behold, I will put a flea of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the flea only, and if it be dried upon all the earth beside it, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. He emphasized again. Sometimes God needs to be reminded, it seems. Huh? You know? And Gideon said unto the Lord, and it was so, for he rose up early on the morning and thrust the flea together and wring the dew out of the fleas, a bowl full of water. And that's a lot of dew. Now, we just want to show you this. You know what a trusting floor is? This is a trusting floor. Okay? A trusting floor. Now, here, not very far from where Gideon, you know, was in under the oak tree. He said, the Lord said, if you really are using me, is upon me, with me, to fight and lead Israel to win this battle, then, I'm going to put a flea. Then he's asking God for a confirmation. So he took a flea, put it in a threshing floor. Now this is a threshing floor. Now look at it closely. You know what a threshing floor is? It's made of rock. Okay, usually. Okay, surround, and that's where they thresh the wheat. Okay? So he put a flea there and says, Lord, now you know what? If the flea gets wet in the morning, full of dew, and all the surrounding ground here are dry, okay, then I know you mean what you said. So he put it there, and then morning he got up and said, oh yeah, that's it. Yeah, I said, oh, the place is dry. And he thinks a little while, says a little, wow, that's very easy for God to do. Come, let me put it the other way. Now I'm going to put a flea back. He said, now Lord, don't get angry now. Do not hold against me. I will speak by this one. Let me prove, I pray you, for this one with the flea, let it not be dry only upon the flea and upon the ground, let there be dew. And the God, Lord did it that night. It was dry upon the flea only, and there was dew on all the ground. You know, the first time, I think, you don't look at it. You know, you put the fleas in this place that is ground. Okay? It would be easier for God to do it, because after all, wolves will attract dew easily, whereas the ground usually are not so easily. So he put it the other way around the second time. You know? So he said, okay, I'm going to put my fleas there. So the flea doesn't accept water now, so our dew wasn't falling so easily. And it's difficult for this ground of concrete to get dew. Whereas on the grass, on the ground where you have grass, they get dew easily, isn't it so? So you want to make it more difficult for God. To prove that God actually was with him. And he got it. Now you know one thing, when we put fleas before the Lord, I know a lot of Christians put fleas before the Lord, I did. But you remember one thing, to put a flea before the Lord is for the confirmation of what God called you to do. It's not saying, Lord, if you want me to be a doctor, okay, I'm going to put a fleas before you. So if you want me to be a doctor, do this, do this, do this. You know what I mean? God is not going to bother with your fleas. You know what I'm saying? Yes. You know. So the time when I prayed the fleas before the Lord was, I was waiting for the Lord for me to, you know, I know the time will come for me to travel, to stop working. And so there was already a confirmation from Brother Horton when he was here. You know, when he had a gift of knowledge, and he spoke just right up there. And he says, okay, Lord, it's the time for me to go now. I'm putting a flea before you. And that is to say that if the roster where I was working in the hospital, they have a roster which is not acceptable by, according to the government, which work one day and 2 days off. So I said, if the roster is going to change, and it should be changed within this few, next few weeks or so, then I take it for a sign that I'm ready to go. So it happened. And the news came out that we have to work 3 shifts instead of 1 shift a day. So I realized that God put, the flea was answered by God. So I gave him my resignation and started to travel. So when you put a flea before, it's to confirm something that God wants you to do. Okay, it's not confirmed. They say, Lord, is this the woman that you want me to marry? Huh? I'm going to put maybe $1,000 in her face. Whether she accepted or not, she rejected, that means she's my wife. If she accepted, means she's greedy. It's not. Don't put any kind of silly flea before the Lord. Okay? Flea is supposed to be for confirmation of what God called you to do. And so that's what God confirmed to Gideon for the work that was ahead of him. So we thank God for the grace that he has given us to see some of this simple truth. But next week we'll just continue as to the sword in his hand that God given him to fight, and how that he won the victory. But of course, Gideon failed in some way too. And God is showing us in the scriptures, these men are men of valor, but yet they still have weakness. They still have done things they shouldn't be doing. You understand? And this is the same with us. The Bible is warning us to be careful. You know, Gideon was not careful in one place. And that brings the whole nation of Israel also to sin against the Lord after he died. You see. And he also reminds us many times, don't take our eyes off the Word of God. And don't just look into history and say that God did this, but why is he not doing today? But God is doing it. What he did in the years past, in century past, generation past, Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today and forever. And if you cannot look at the Word and trust in the Lord and have faith in the Lord, then you're not going to see. Yes, right? Even as Brother Abraham said, you know, that's why when you believe, you will see. And that is very true. And because I believe Jesus, I believe in the coming rapture, I believe that He's coming back and take control of all this, you know, thing that is in the world today and bring in His kingdom. I believe, and I will see. And there are those that do not believe in it. They say this thing is impossible, and they were not going to see it. And one other thing is this, when God gives us a message, that which came through Brother Branham, and I say this, and I say this to many people, even some in the entire message, they were confused. They think, what this whole message is all about? What is God sending a messenger for? With a message for what? You know, and I said this, if we remain in denomination, and every denomination has its own theology, and every denominational Christian believe that they're going to make the rapture, then God did not have to send a prophet, did not have to send us a message. Because after all, it's be okay for me to be an Assemblies of God. It's okay for you to be a Pentecostal in another church, or a Charismatic, or a Baptist, or a Methodist, or whatever it is. There are some 33,000 different groups in the world. You choose one of them, any one of them, and you can believe that you make the rapture, then something is wrong with the Word of God. Isn't that right? Something is wrong. Because the Bride of Christ is not made up of patchwork in His garment. You know what I'm saying? Huh? You know, some in China, especially in Chinese, they like to make blanket of all different kind of material, cloth, different patterns, you know, patchwork. So the Bride of Christ wearing a garment is not made of patchwork. Here is the Baptist doctrine, Methodist doctrine, Pentecostal doctrine, Anglican, you know, all patch up. Oh no. He has only one bride, and the bride wears a robe of fine linen, which is according to the word of the Lord. And I write, he said, there's only one. And I told them, the reason why God sent a messenger with a message is to get us out of this mess. Come back to the word, one. To be prepared by the word of God, doctrinally. Some people think the doctrine is not important. Oh, doctrines is important. If it's not important, we don't have this big Bible so big anyway. We don't have this thick Bible. We just have a few pages will do. You know? Doctrine. Doctrine is the life of Christ. Life of God. Because it is His word. His life. To tell you who He is. He's not three persons. Is that right? And Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is not His name. You got it? And His body is not leavened. It's pure. It's unleavened. Uncontaminated. When He came to be a sacrifice. And so by people in a denomination communion, what did they take? Leavened bread. Huh? Cracker biscuit. And what about the cup? The cup is supposed to represent His blood. And which blood is pure? The longer you keep it, the longer it's still as powerful. Isn't that right? So the same thing with wine. The longer you keep your wine, the more powerful you get and the stronger it gets. Not grape juice. People are using Ravina grape juice. For the communion. That's leavened. That's contaminated. And you're using it. We need to understand the whole thing about what God do for us. We cannot change it. The Bible says, you take one word away from it, I will take it away, your name out of the book of life. If you add one word to it, I will add the plate to you. Does God mean what He said? Yes. Huh? Isn't it? God meant what He said. And so what He meant exactly. And so what then? Doctrinally. We need to understand what the Bible said. Two. Character wise. We have knowledge of doctrine. But if our character, we don't live the right way. We didn't live the right, don't live the right life. What's wrong with us? We can have all knowledge about this and that in the Bible. But if our life is living anyhow we want to. Not according to the scripture, not Christ-like, not God-like, then something is wrong too. Do you understand that, you see? So the word and the work goes hand in hand. Jesus came to preach the word of God, He did the work of God. So when you have the word of God, you keep it and you work it out in your life. Is that alright? You see the important thing about it? You need to keep that. And that's what the message is. So that we be prepared and make ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Present to Him as a bride to the Lord Jesus. And Christ will take us and present us to His Father. So behold, my bride, my wife. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your love. Bless Thy word, Lord. We thank You, Father, for the simplicity of the gospel. And we know, Lord, until as we come to the fullness of Thy word,
We cannot be a man make ready. If all we have, Father, is to drink of the milk. Well, we need to be strong, Father, for what's coming ahead of us. And we are thankful, Lord, you have shown us, Lord, your plan and the purpose in this generation that we live in. We ask that you continue to hold us, Father, in your hand. And help us, Lord, not to be naive, Father, with all the things that's going on in the religious world. We have false prophets out there, Lord. We have deceivers out there. We have a lot of mess in this anti-message among the churches, O Lord, that claim to believe the prophet. And we have those that are anti-Branham. They will come out against him in many ways. And Father, whether the pros and the cons, they're all out there in the world. And we have two extremes, Lord, one to the left or one to the right. Or we have been told to walk on the highway of the glory of God in the word of Christ. We thank you, Lord. So help us, Lord. Give us a sense of direction, Lord. Give us a spirit of understanding. We continue to ask of you, Lord, to feed us with your word and to grace our life with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. As thou hast Paul admonished us to do, Lord, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to ourselves in some hymn and spiritual songs. So Father, guide us and bless us this day. All we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.